Blog Talk Radio.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast.
All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have got a great show for you today. And if you want to call in and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to be talking about Crawford and Porter is set to be announced next week. Will it be announced next week? I don't know. We'll let you know. Mikey Garcia also coming back on DAZN. We'll talk about that and who he's going to fight. But first, we're going to get started with Michael Montero joins us live. Mike, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. I'm still cold from the ice bath I took a couple hours ago. That sucked, man. I don't know if you saw the tweet. I posted pictures.
No, you got in like an ice bath or whatever?
Yeah. I went for my last run today. Of camp, and after that, I did a couple sprints, and then after that, my wife prepared the ice bath. But I'm too damn tall for the bath, so I like had to get half in, you know, like my upper half. Then I had to put my legs in. I was just looking like an idiot, but you know, it still helped. It felt good, but I'm still kind of shivering from it.
So, for those of you who don't know, Michael Montero is actually going to have a fight,
yeah.
Correct?
And yeah, it's USA Boxing, it's Masters, but I wanted to do a pro fight, but they said you got to do at least one amateur fight first, so
wow.
Here we go.
Wow. So who are you fighting? And this is all for charity.
Yeah.
And talk about who you're fighting now. I mean, who is this guy? And I mean, because I tell you what, I saw pictures of him. You're a big guy, and he looks about as big as you. I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's my size. His name's John Ochoa. I don't know much about him in terms of boxing. I've gotten a little bit of scattering reports, you know, from his sparring partners, and he's training in Buckhead Fight Club, and he's been working with a couple pros. I don't know anything about his style or how he fights, but they say he hits hard. They say he's got some bricks, so you know, I'm going to have to be prepared for that. But this event is it's happening in Buckhead this Thursday, September 16th. And it's a charity event. There's going to be an amateur show and then a pro show. So there's 9 amateur fights. I am the main event of the amateur show, which is pretty
nice.
Damn cool.
Nice.
And then after that, I got to run to the dressing room, take a shower, get dressed, and then come call the professional fights with Bunny Powell. He's going to be calling the fight. So I'm going to be calling the fight with him, which is pretty badass.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to be sweating when I go call the pro show. And it's going to be streamed on the WBC network, which is really cool. They've stepped up and been a big part of it with the charity aspect through WBC Cares.
Yes.
And the funds that were the proceeds, I should say, from the tickets, from the pay-per-view, and from private donations that people are making are going to go to a mental health and drug addiction treatment facility that I chose here in the Atlanta area.
Oh, that's
so cool. It's an awesome, awesome event. And I put in months of work. I've lost 30 pounds since January.
Wow.
Fought through a lot of injuries. Had my last good spar yesterday. That's why I'm still a little puffy. And I'm ready to go, man. I'm excited for it.
You look like you're in good shape, man. I mean, you really do. You look like you're in solid shape. Beeb, I don't know what you're talking about. You said he looked flabby. I don't think he looks flabby at all. I think he looks great. Beeb, why? I mean, what are you saying that the rest of us aren't?
Physical specimen, I've always thought. Never thought of him for a second.
That's you, man. That's you. We've all seen you with your shirt off, walking down the Stairmaster at the gym.
So how many rounds is this? Is this a four-round fight or a three-round?
It's only 3 rounds. Yeah,
3 rounds,
it's
3-minute rounds?
Two-minute rounds.
2-minute rounds, okay.
I fought and fought and fought. I'm like, can I get 5 rounds? Can I get 8 rounds? You know, and do we have to wear headgear? But USA Boxing is sanctioning it.
Yes.
So that, I mean, in one respect, that's really cool because this is my first official sanctioned fight. I've done underground stuff and things like that. You know, I was in the Marine Corps. There's all kinds of event.
A lot of smokers.
Yeah, you know.
Remember that.
But this is on the record. So this will be, you know, a USA Boxing sanctioned fight. And they said, oh, you're old. I'm 42. So I got to do masters. I got to wear the big gloves, the headgear.
The 16-ounce gloves?
Yes. Yeah. But, hey, man, we're still going to crack with those 16s, baby. We're still going to work.
Fight, Michael.
I know, man.
So does this guy have, like, a boxing background?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I know, you know, he's been through some stuff, like some street fights and gang. He was in a gang and stuff like that. I think he's been to prison. So he can fight. But boxing-wise, I don't know. I'm not sure.
So if he pulls out a shank, you're in trouble. But they should tie him down before he gets in there. You know what I mean? So
he might pull something at the weigh-in, man. We're weighing in that morning. We'll find out, you know. So I have my guard up.
Well, metal detectors, but when you step into the ring.
Yeah. Who knows, man?
What's going on? We'll see.
Remember the old school wrestling when he pet the bad guy down and then pull like a weapon out of his trunks or something like that, you know?
Yeah, we might see something like that, man. Yeah, I sized him up, though. We had a press conference September 1st. And, you know, we did the stare down, which we held for over a minute. It was great, man. It was great doing like a stare down with a dude that's my size. He's got long arms like mine. So, you know, he's going to have the same reach. I think I'm probably going to throw the straighter punches. That's just an assumption. We'll find out. So I'm going to go right down the middle on him and try to get under and, you know, and around his shots. And we'll see what happens. I only got, you know, 6 minutes, but I hope that, you know, I could get enough work in and show some of what I can do in that time.
It sounds like he's more of a like a street fighter kind of guy. I mean, we don't know anything about him, but that's kind of what it sounds like. So
that's
punches,
what I've been told.
Those punches aren't going to be straight. He may be able to crack, but if he can't throw a straight punch, he's going to have a problem.
Yeah,
you know.
That's I'll see what happens in the first round. You know, I'll cover up and just, you know, see what he's working with, and then we'll come out and get to work in the second round. So.
And what is his name again?
John Ochoa,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, we'll take a look at that. Beeb, what do you got for us here?
I'm just going to wish him good luck, man. I mean, he's 42 years old, everything slows down, so just
tell me about it.
Make sure, you know, you're well prepared. I'm sure that you will be, and, you know, just be safe. That's all I can say. Now,
thank you.
How many of these things do you feel like you're going to do? Is this a one and done, or do you feel like you want to at the end of the day, before it's all said and done, do you want to get a pro fight in there? Is that your goal at the end of the day?
I don't know. You know, I took this fight to dedicate it to my brother. And the thing is, like, I didn't even know I was going to do this event. My brother, for those of you who don't know who are watching, my brother died last November, and I haven't really talked about it publicly. You know, I talked about him dying, but I haven't talked about the reason. He had a drug overdose. And he was involved with some gangs, and, you know, there's actually a contract on his life, and I had to get him out of that situation. I mean, I kind of had to – I could probably write a book about the story of what happened last summer, and it was a crazy situation. And after I pulled him out of it – he was in Long Beach. He was in LBC, and I got him out of there, and three months after that, he was dead. And that's where I gained weight, and I blew up to 240 pounds. I was drinking like a fish. You know, I go back and I look at episodes of my podcast then and some like fight night commentary I was doing and stuff. And man, I didn't look good. I didn't sound good. Looking back at that time, it's like, man, you know, I was just withdrawing and I was really dark, my mood. But I decided in January, we did a memorial for him, and I decided I'm going to get my ass in shape and I'm going to do a fight. I don't care where it is, what it is, how it is. I'm going to do a fight. I'm going to put it on record, and I'm going to dedicate it to him. And it just so happened that I knew the publicist of the promoter here in Atlanta that does this event. And so they, you know, it's like the universe came together.
Yeah.
And the guy I'm training with, Christian Steele, he's a pro fighter out of Philly who moved down here and opened up a gym. And literally, I shit you not, guys, I walked into that gym just out of curiosity, because it's 5 miles like from where I live. I walked in there the day my brother died. And we didn't find out my brother died till about a week and a half after he died.
Oh.
The first day I trained with Christian Steele is the day we found out my brother died. So that combined with the promoter, Terry Moss, who's doing the event here, it just feels like the universe put all, or maybe my brother, put all of, I'll get emotional if I keep talking about it. Yeah. It's like he put us all together, and it just worked out this way. So when the WBC heard my story, they got involved, and they've been awesome. And like I said, they're streaming it so people can watch it.
That's wonderful, Mike.
It really is. It's $15, man. And proceeds from that will go. Cool. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Is there going to be a link? I'm going to advertise it on your Twitter. I'll send you
guys all those links so you can.
Yeah, send me the link and we'll retweet them out and stuff like that.
We'll retweet them out for you. We'll promote it. Yeah,
I'll catch it afterwards on YouTube, but don't worry about that.
I love it.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to watch it.
Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.
I'll just watch Beep Speed.
Watch his Facebook live feed.
Watch these Facebook live
feed. I love it.
Eric, please, what is the quorum today? You're out of line.
Eric's got to save that $15.
Got to buy my Manscaped products. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there you go. there it is.
Trimmer. Oh, he's got it. Look at that.
Does that thing work? Is that thing, yeah?
Worst thing in the room, when you're going on a date and you're going for the kiss and you got those nose hairs sticking out.
Your nose looks like a party favor. Yeah.
That's when you got to pull this thing out. A little Manscaped action. It's called the weed whacker.
Okay. I might check that out.
Click the link in the description box. Ringside Reporter, 20% off.
Hey, 20% off.
There
you go.
All right. I like
that. You can't beat that.
I like that.
Yeah, man. So, all right. So your fight is a set. Now, how do we watch it again? It's WBC. Is it WBC Network or?
I think it's WBC Network or WBC Channel. Either way, I'll send you the link. If you Google it, they just launched the network. And, they're going to stream it live. And I think if you buy the pay-per-view, you have access to it for like 24 hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I'll try to get, I'll get copies of everything. And I'll definitely post it at some point on my YouTube. But that's the thing, man, is like as far as my boxing, I'm very confident going into this fight. I'm more than just a writer. I've trained for a long time. I've put in rounds. So I'm good with that. For me, it's going to be holding the emotions back, because I'm going to wish my brother was there, because he'd love it if he could see it, So that's going to be the hard part is keeping all that in check when I go fight.
But he's going to be there with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
going to
be there with you.
You're right.
And he'll see everything that goes on and, that kind of thing. I mean, it's like, I think there was such a cool story that you did this thinking about your brother and everything like that and everything, the way everything you explained to us, the way everything came together.
I mean,
that's something.
It's crazy, right?
It really
is. It feels like a movie of the week. Like, what I'm saying? Like, it feels like just the way everything fell together.
Yeah.
And the response has been, for me, very surprising. I've done a ton of interviews over the last few weeks, and it's been difficult to do that because I've had to talk about my brother, and there's a lot of things that like I kind of kept pent up inside, and I've had to reopen some wounds. So it's been difficult, but the response has been crazy. And I'm telling you, I didn't even answer your question, Beeb. I'm finally getting to it, but my phone's been ringing and people are like, yo, will you fight on my event? Will you fight on this event? We have an event coming up. We have this coming up. And I'm like, what? So the phone's already been ringing for stuff. So I don't know what I'm going to do. It depends on how things go. I'm trying to just focus on this fight. And then after that, I'll take a couple weeks and talk to my wife and we'll figure out what's going on. Cause she's the one who's seen me come home busted up.
That's the question I had for you. How does she feel about you doing this? Because
it's not an easy thing to do.
So my first sparring session, I'll put it out there. I sparred two big dudes, really, really big guys, broke two ribs and I've had to fight through that. Because that's how out of shape I was. And I was like, what? I could always take body shots. What the hell is going on? But a couple body shots, boom. Busted a couple ribs. I tore a pectoral muscle. I had to go to the hospital and get imaging. So I've fought through several injuries here. Maybe I've been pushing it too much because I've been doing two-a-days. I lost 30 pounds in just a few months.
Yeah.
But I've come home busted and swollen, and my wife has been like, what the fuck? Sorry to say, but she's like – but I told her, I was like, I am going to see this through. I've been so close to competing in the past, and I've found excuses – to not do it. I let life get in the way. I let, I got sick or, I got fired from my job or laid off. I've never been fired. Or my girlfriend broke up with me, whatever. You know, I found some excuse or got injured to not follow through. And I'm like, I don't give a shit what happens. I'm following through and doing this.
Yeah.
After this, though, she might want to sit me down and be like, hey, you did it. Now you need to chill. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. That is something, man. Yeah. It's, and for those of you guys who don't know, man, like in the gyms and stuff, when you're sparring like boxing gyms, they're not taking it easy. They're hitting you. It's not like, you know, you talk about like an MMA when we box in like the MMA gyms and stuff like that. It's not,
it's fun.
It's fun.
Guys are having fun.
People are coming back the next day, you know, like in a boxing, they're hitting you. They're hitting you for real. Like you were in a fight. They are hitting you for real.
Yeah.
You know?
The sparring's been brutal, dude.
Two broken ribs sparring. Yeah, that's.
I broke one rib and it was excruciating. It was a hairline. It was a hairline fracture.
How did you fight through that? I mean, so what do they do for broken ribs?
I couldn't do it. I stopped.
What did they
do for you?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can. There's nothing you can do.
The whole taping up. You can't tape it up because you can't breathe. They don't do that shit anymore.
That's the thing is breathing, dude. You hit it. You can't breathe.
Every time you breathe. Feels like someone's stabbing you with a knife.
Right.
The worst fucking feeling in the world.
And that pec muscle was the same feeling. So
I've never had that.
I tore my left pec.
Ugh.
And I thought that was a busted rib because it was kind of the same feeling. But when I went to the hospital, they imaged everything. They said it's so close to the ribs up there. That's why you're getting that feeling because there's so much inflammation from the tear.
Wow, geez.
But yeah, with the muscle, the ribs, I took a couple weeks off. You know, I couldn't spar for a month, but I was running a week or two after, and it hurt like a motherfucker. But sucked it up. I could get like that 50% breath. You know, I couldn't get that deep breath. So I was breathing really short, but I was like, fuck it. And I still got my road work in. I lost weight with two busted fucking ribs. So I've been through it. I've put in the fucking work for this camp. And that's why I said I feel very confident about the fight itself. It's just, can I keep my emotions in check?
Yeah.
How do you feel physically from a strength perspective after losing all that weight? Because people think that, you know, when these fighters are walking around at like such a high weight and they're dropping weight like 30 pounds through a camp, that really changes your body. Your body has to adapt to that. People really underestimate how difficult that process is. Talk about that a little bit, because now you're actually going through a camp like these pro fighters do, and you said you just lost about 30 pounds. Now, obviously, maybe you got a little heavier than you wanted to be, but even still, I would guess your walk around is about 215, 220, and you're probably 10 pounds below your walk around weight. Even 10 rounds below your walk around weight, how do you feel physically?
It's interesting. In terms of my cardio, I feel great because I'm lighter. So when I'm doing my road work and stuff, it's like, wow, you know, I feel like more balance. But you do feel it in the clinches. One of the pros that I spar with, his name is Nick Davis. He fights out of the same gym, and he weighs anywhere from 260 to 270 at a given time. He's a big boy. So he's a good 50 pounds heavier than me. And in the clinches, it's tough, dude, just to move a guy. But working with him, when I go spar a guy who's 230, 240, I can move him easier. The thing is, it's helping me with my cardio. Is there as much weight behind my shots, as much power? No. But especially in amateur boxing, you guys know it's really not about power. It's about touching.
Yeah.
And my strategy here is just touch, 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 move. So it's helping me now. But, dude, in the weight room, holy shit, do you notice the difference? You can't get half the weight up.
Yeah.
You got nothing, dude. You can go longer. You can lift weights. You can do everything longer. You can work out for 2 hours. You're like, all right, warm-up's done. You know what I'm saying? But as far as actual weight, you just can't do it.
Wow.
It's a supplementation. Like, we be loading up on caffeine before these workouts.
Are you on Centrum or anything like that?
Dude, I've never been a supplement guy. I drink protein shakes. And you know what my supplementation has been? Protein shakes and Advil. It's been a lot of fucking Advil. That's it. That's it.
Man.
No Red Bulls? No Red Bulls?
No Red Bulls, man. That shit makes me jittery, man. I don't like – even like a pre-workout, I tried that stuff once. And I almost threw up, man. I don't know how guys do that. That's like 10 cups of coffee.
It makes me real jittery. The pre-workout's always made me real jittery.
Yeah, you know? I don't like
can't
that.
You can't even sleep at night, too, sometimes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I don't like that shit.
Yeah.
I felt like I was on crack or something. No, not a good feeling. I'm very, like, me and my wife are the same way. We're very, we try to do things naturally. We don't take a lot of medicine. We don't have that kind of stuff in the house, really. You know, if we can do things in a natural way, that's what we try to do.
Yeah.
I got you.
That's it. All right. So September 16th, at what time? What time does that show start?
The card starts at 5. I know I got to be there at 4:30. I think the show starts at 5. My fight, I don't know, maybe 8, 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Like
okay.
That. And then the pro show will come on. And like I said, I'll be commentating those fights after fighting. It's going to be a long night, man.
No doubt.
But I think I want like a really cold beer. After the fight, because I haven't drank a drop of alcohol in months, and just a really, really cold beer after that sounds good.
I remember you posting that. I remember you posting that about like you weren't having like your last drink in a while, and I'm like, and I didn't. It didn't even like dawn on me that you're training or anything like that. I was just like, oh, that's weird, you know. But yeah, I can imagine, man. I can imagine that and the pizza.
I like to do cleanses. Oh yeah, pizza. Oh my God, I miss pizza, lasagna. But me and my wife, we like to do little cleanses just for fun. And sometimes we'll go 30 days without sweets, or we'll do 3 months without alcohol. We do that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But with this, I just gave up food. I've just been eating fish and steak, which I love. Like I was grilling fish and steak last night. But I've ate so much damn chicken breast. I'm going to turn into a fucking chicken breast if I don't get some pasta or something, man, or like tacos or something, you know. So I can, one more week and I can eat like a human being again.
Right.
What's the post-fight meal going to be? Lasagna? Ooh. Pizza?
I don't know, man.
Chicken parmesan?
After the weigh-in, I'm going to eat some pasta. Definitely. Just
pasta.
For the carbs and everything.
Yeah.
And I can't eat like meatballs. I don't want nothing heavy, but I'm definitely going to have some pasta.
Have a little chicken. You can have a little chicken.
Yeah, it has to be light.
Yeah.
Chicken you can digest pretty quickly. You can have some chicken, but the steak's a little bit hot to digest. I'd stay away from
it. Yeah. I don't want nothing heavy that day.
Yeah. The steak is heavy. It takes a long time.
No sausage or nothing like that. Just chicken. Yeah.
How are your nerves right now? Are you pretty nervous about it coming up?
You know, man, I got really nervous after the press conference, and I had a lot of anxiety, and, you know, and I'm like, man, you know, I was a fucking Marine. Shit doesn't faze me, really. What, you know, what's going on? And I thought maybe I was nervous about the fight, but then I found out through talking to people, it's because I had to talk about my brother.
Yeah.
And it brought up all these emotions, you know. And so there was a little bit of anxiety and everything around that. But as far as the fight goes, I don't know, man. I feel pretty relaxed because I put in so much work. It's like I said, the only thing is that anxiety just because of the emotions involved. That's the only thing that I feel right now.
Yeah. I mean, because you've been punched in the face before. It's not like this is your first rodeo. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's like you're not going in there blind. You know what's going on. Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. So are they going to have the weigh-in and everything like that? Or is it just the fights?
I don't know if they're streaming the way they stream the press conference, but I'm not sure about the weigh-in. I'll find out. It's that morning. It's early. So I don't know if they will. Because it's very much like an amateur show weigh-in where it's like 9 in the morning, you know.
Same day weigh-in, right? Same day weigh-in.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Old, I gotcha. Old. Wow. Right. So same day. So on that 15th, wow, or 16th, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Any rehydration clauses? Any regular?
Yeah, right?
No IBF rehydration clause. We're
coming
good.
In at 2:45 the night of the fight.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be walking in there at 2:65. Yeah.
What's the contracted weight?
210.
210?
Yeah, that's the thing with this event. You know, I signed a contract.
Bridgerweight,
yeah. You know, and I thought about trying to get down to 200, and I probably could. So if I end up doing another fight, I might go to 200. I'm like, dude, I got that super skinny old school fighter build right now. You know, we're like, because I've been lifting weights. In my 30s, I lifted a lot of weights, and I enjoy that. But my arms and all that are a lot smaller. I got that wiry kind of frame right now, but it feels good, man. You know, I've got that hungry feeling, you know.
That's good, man. That's good. I can't wait to see it, man. I tell you what, we can't wait to see it. It's going to be great.
Thank you so much, guys.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for coming on and everything like that, man. We appreciate it. And we'll talk about your fight. We'll talk about your fight next week. And hopefully, maybe we can have you back on. Who knows?
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, come on and talk about
it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, for sure. All right, man. We know you got things to do, man, so we will get with you soon.
All right.
Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. So he said he might, if he does this again, he might get down to 200, B. That's like your weight.
Don't even think of it, buddy.
I'm just saying. Like, you know,
I'm gonna stick to my Manscaped commercials.
Their products do work pretty good, don't they? I mean, I gotta be honest, man. I mean, the more stuff I use, the more stuff I'm kinda liking.
This thing is awesome.
Yeah. I love it, man. I love it.
Love it, man.
Thank you so much to Tony Boswell. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Thank you again, man. All right, so let's talk about the fights this weekend, man. The big one, Oscar Valdez versus Robson Conceição. Is it Conceição?
He's Conticao.
Conticao, okay.
It took me like a week to learn how to
pronounce it. Yeah, right? Listen, man, Valdez wins a unanimous decision, 117-110, 115-112 twice. I had the fight 114-113 for Valdez. I thought that Valdez, man, he started slow, but Conceição, man, I thought he did a good job controlling the pace early. He made Valdez miss, made him miss pretty often early. But Valdez, I thought, turned the tide in the middle rounds, and I thought Conceição. I thought he tired in the mid rounds, and I thought that was the big difference. I really did. And I thought that Valdez looked better down the stretch, you know. So I had him, like I said, man, I had him winning the fight. A lot of people thought he was, you know, thought that the other guy won and Valdez lost. But, yeah, I had him winning too.
Could have gone either way. I don't have a problem with the decision. I scored for Valdez too, 115 and 112. But I could have easily seen myself, you know, giving that third round to Conceição. If I wanted to, I could have given the ninth round to Conceição. The point deduction was bullshit, in my opinion. It was disgraceful when the referee took that point away in the ninth round just for those two little taps. You know, I thought Conceição was controlling the fight with his jab. He was definitely winning from the outside. Valdez was having a hard time getting past that jab, and he was throwing one punch at a time early on. He looked like he was a little...
All right, looks like we lost.
Particularly the body shots. Yeah, a lot of those body shots are being blocked. He made that little run, like you said, round 6, 7, and 8. But I thought Conceição came back a little bit in rounds 9, 10, and 11, right? And, you know, Andre Ward, I just didn't see what he was seeing in that second half of the fight. Oh, he's breaking down. He's just trying to survive. I thought he fought a good round in round 9. I thought he clearly won round 10. Round 11 could have gone either way. Yeah, did he coast in round 12? Absolutely. But I thought those championship rounds, the 9, 10, 11, I thought that those rounds were very close, and they could have gone either way.
I split them. I had the ninth round going to Valdez, 10 and 11 going to Conceição, and then the 12th round going to Valdez.
Yeah. But once again, I almost gave the 11th
round. That 10-8 rounds, what did it?
I almost gave. You would have had it a draw if you didn't have to take the point away.
Yeah,
no,
that,
you would have.
That 10-8 round. That 10-8 round was BS.
You would have had it a draw. You would have had it a draw if you didn't have to take the point away.
Yeah, because I thought he was winning that round, but
I'm not gonna lie to you. You could have given the 9th, 10th, and 11th were very close rounds. That's why I don't understand Ward saying like how he just packed it in and gave up in this.
No.
Obviously he did slow down in those middle rounds, but both fighters were kind of slowed down to an extent in 9, 10, and 11. And then for whatever reason, Conceição just decided to coast. I thought
that
maybe
was a weird
thought,
thing. I mean, it was like the 5th or 6th round where he was like coasting. And he wasn't throwing as much, and I thought, well, he's just going to regroup. Yeah. But, you know, that
he
was
He did
odd.
Come back a little bit in the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
It's a hard style to fight. It's a hard style to fight,
You could definitely make an argument that fight could have gone either way. I mean, like I said, there were, in my opinion, there were 4 swing rounds in that fight. Rounds 3, 9, 10, and 11, clearly swing rounds. I gave Conceição 10. I didn't give him 11, but I was tempted to, you know. I didn't give him 9, but I was tempted to. Round 3, you could, you know, that could have been either a Valdez or a Constacao as well. So this was a fight that I don't think was a robbery by any means. I didn't think this was going to be Valdez's best performance. I said that going in. I actually picked Constacao to win this fight beforehand. I did the beating the odds at Beeb. I said he's a live, very live underdog. I really didn't like the fact that Valdez had to go through hell to try to make weight for this fight. And, I thought that could have had an impact in the fight. But also, I did some homework on Constacao, and I studied him because my friend said, hey, I'm picking Constacao. And I'm like, really? Let me take it. This is a guy that I highly respect. He gambles all the time. You know, he said, I'm picking Constacao. I think he's going to win. I said, oh, really? Let me take a second look. So I started watching some fights. And I looked at him, and I saw him on the undercard of one of the bubble cards. He didn't look great, but he pulled it out. But, you know, I started watching other fights, and I just saw, you know, how tall, how long he was, and how calm and cool and collected he was, how patient and poised he was in there. He reminded me a lot of Ugas. He reminded me a lot of Ugas.
He did. Yeah.
And I said that in my breakdown, and with the only difference being he throws a lot more punches than Ugas does. But he has that same type of style. He keeps that high guard, you know, lets you come forward, baits you in. He taps you with the jab to keep you off rhythm, right? And to try to create little openings for himself, get a little reaction. But then he lets you come forward a little bit, and he catches those shots. And then he just punches in between your combination, or he waits for you to just stop, and then he catches and shoots. You know, he's a very, very crafty, patient guy, right? And he's a great body puncher, too. You know, there were a lot of punches that I think Valdez was throwing that I thought Constacao was blocking. But Andre Ward was like, oh, look at that body shot. I mean, I didn't even think a lot of those shots were not landing. But I wasn't crazy about Andre Ward's commentary during this fight. I understand that, you know, there was that lull in the middle rounds, but I thought.
Say the guy was breaking.
I didn't see that.
That's harsh.
I didn't see that. I didn't see him folding up his tent and wanting to go home. I didn't see any quitting the guy.
I didn't either.
I just saw a guy who probably lacked a little bit of self-awareness and thought he was probably more ahead than he was.
Yeah.
You know, he had to realize he was in this guy's, you know, backyard basically, and he was the B side. There needed to be a little bit more sense of urgency. I'm not going to deny that. But to just sit there and say he packed it in, no. I like I said, rounds 9, 10, 11 were fought on even terms, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you, Constacao's got that style that'll make anybody – it makes every fight difficult. It's kind of like if you have a fighter like Pernell Whitaker or Floyd Mayweather, they make those fights difficult. Bernard Hopkins makes those fights – he's going to make that fight difficult. You know, he's going to make you try to fight his style for as long as he can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely can control the pace of the fight. He has a way of speeding it up when he wants to and slowing it down when he wants to. And he's pretty strong on the inside. He's going to get a little gritty in there, grab you with one hand and hit you with the other.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy. You know, and it was his first 12-round fight, so maybe he wanted to conserve his energy a little bit, but he still threw a lot of punches, threw a lot more punches. You know, and again, the narrative that he threw all his punches in the first half of the fight and then he just went to sleep the second half. No, I mean, they were fighting on even terms in rounds 9, 10, and 11. With all, you know, taking nothing away from Valdez, I thought he clearly won 6, 7, and 8 without question, those middle rounds. But again, you know, he started to slow down a little bit in 9, 10, 11 as well. Like, I just don't think that he took this fight over in the second half.
No, and I'll tell you what, this was not the same Valdez we saw against Burchelt. You know, this was not, I mean,
no, I didn't think it would be.
Right.
I didn't think it would be.
I think with all the stuff, he shouldn't have been fighting anyway, that's number one. But number two,
I agree with you, he shouldn't have been fighting.
With all the stuff that he went through that week and everything like that, you kind of had a feeling, if you were going to take Constacao, this was the fight to take him because, or if you were going to bet against Valdez, this was the fight to do that because all that stuff...
And the fact that he had that drug in his system so late in the camp gave me an indication we're this close and he's still not at, you know, that if I'm Constacao, like I'm that's a sign of encouragement to me.
Yeah.
Like this guy's still struggling. We're less than two weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This was a fat camp. And you could see when he was at the Billy Joe Saunders fight, he was a little puffy. He was heavy. He partied after that Grichel victory. There's no question about it.
And I talked to Chacal, and Chacal had picked Valdez to win, and I said, you know, it's going to be difficult
to take
a decision away from Valdez here on a top-ranked card.
Yeah.
And especially if you watch that card, those guys, you knew exactly who the house fighter was at all times. You know, let's talk about the Gabe Flores and Luis Lopez Vargas fight. Vargas shocks Flores by unanimous decision, 98-92 and 190 twice. This was another one where this and the Nakatani fight, but this is one especially too. They just kind of hyped this guy up, and you could tell exactly who the house fighter was, and he just didn't look good. I mean, he didn't look good at all.
You know, I have to say, after watching this fight, I did a video this morning about, you know, the dangers of the sport and what I think are some of the problem areas in this sport. And one thing that I've always talked about, and I've talked about the severe weight cuts, you know, I don't think you're a fan of the day before weigh-ins either. I don't want to speak for you, but I'm not sure. Are you a fan of those 36-hour?
No. In fact, if we could go back to the same day weigh-ins, we're going to get a loss. I think we're going to get a lot less injury. I think you're going to get a lot less, you know, and people going to their normal weight classes.
Yeah, so we won't see all these crazy things going on.
People hydrate 20 pounds.
You know. Because these fighters have that false sense of security, thinking they're going to get it all back in 36 hours. And I think it actually makes the sport more dangerous than safer. So I think it defeated the purpose.
Absolutely.
You know, and also the mismatches are horrible. When you have these guys who are mandatories that have no business being in the ring with guys that are 10 levels above them, that's a recipe for disaster, too. I mean, there's no way the guy's not going to get hurt. And another big thing is these fighters getting beat up, right, not being able to defend themselves. In this situation, in round 10, this fight should have been stopped. And it was disgusting to me. People want to talk about, people can die in there, and they want to talk about all these other things, right? They want a virtue signal and talk about all these other things. But no one wants to talk about what happened. You know, you'll read the article that Lopez scores the upset over Flores Jr., and then there'll be one or two sentences about, you know, how the fight probably should have been stopped sooner. And that'll be the end of it. But let it be something else, and, you know, whatever. You'll hear it till the cows come home, and every website will have it. It was a disgrace that fight was not stopped in the 10th round. It was disturbing. I mean, he had no defense. He was getting hit with everything but the kitchen sink.
He'd been getting hit all night.
You know, Lopez was very cagey. You know, he would get low, and then he'd just spring up, and he'd come up over the top with these looping shots. It was really, really unorthodox, but it was hard to time him when he springed up out of that crouch, right?
Yeah.
And he was hard to hit because he got low. It was a very difficult style. But again, you know, Flores was talking all that trash. You know, he had all the bling on, you know, at the press conferences. He was talking up a good game and didn't look – I don't know how serious he was about the fight. They're talking about how he underestimated, whatever the case may be. But – when I saw him getting beat up like that in that 10th round, and he goes back to his corner, and his father wants to stop the fight, he's nodding his head no. He's waving his hand, stop it,
awful.
Right?
Awful.
And then the referee seeing all this. Where the fuck was the doctor? Did the doctor even go to that corner in between rounds? Where the fuck was the doctor?
All you needed was a couple of good shots, and that fight is stopped. The fight should have been stopped, you know?
So everyone wants to cry about, you know, the safety of the sport, about people can die in there. But let's talk about some of this shit.
Right.
Because there's actual evidence that shows us that fights going on too long have been detrimental to fighters, and fighters have passed away and suffered, you know, injuries, career-ending injuries because of that, right? It was just like when Muhammad Ali fought Larry Holmes. Everybody in that corner after round 10 wanted to send Muhammad Ali out there, right? They wanted to, and they were arguing with the referee and all that stuff. And Angelo Dundee put his foot down. He said, "I'm the chief. second, and I am stopping this fight. This was the father of this fighter on Friday. This is not just a regular, you know, this is, you have a bond between your son and you sent him back out there.
For the wolves, man.
Disgraceful. Disgraceful.
I don't think it works. I don't think the father and son thing works. It just doesn't. You're too close to the action.
You would think, though, that a father would pull a son out earlier than someone who wasn't related to the fighter. Wouldn't you think there'd be more? There'd be more compassion? Wouldn't you think that?
You would think so. But I think what happens when it goes this route, that the father lives through the son. He lives his dreams through the son. I see it in sports all the time.
Excellent point, Eric. Excellent point, Eric.
You know, with coaching and everything like that, you see it all the time, that these parents are trying to live through their kids. You know, and the kids aren't having fun. They're not doing it, but the parents are living their dreams through their kids. Hey, he's going to score. That score's for us. You know, to me, it's always been, I don't care as long as you're having fun, man. Whether you win or lose, I don't care. I don't care what my kids do.
Do you think he'll ever be the same after this?
No. No.
I think his career's over.
Took a beating.
I think he's ruined. I think he's ruined.
You know what? And you know, I tell you, you know, people say the under. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
He was going to get you either way, son. You came in there prepared, unprepared, didn't matter. You were going out. Didn't matter.
Yeah. So that was upsetting to me. It was really upsetting to me.
Yeah.
So where's all the these people who care about the safety of the sport? Where were they?
Yeah.
How come this isn't being talked about more?
G Funky with a good tweet here. It says his dad was calling him bro in the corner. He said, I don't like that. Not the way a father should talk to a son. You're 100% right. 100%. The father should have, you know, listen, that's why this whole thing doesn't work. More often than not, and yeah, you could say, well, Shane Mosley, you could pick out any number, Joe Calzaghe, you could pick out a lot of people, but I'm telling you, overall, that's a handful of people out of the people that actually tried this. I tell you, it doesn't work. It would be really hard for you to be in there, you know, trying to stop a fighter. You know, it's not good, man. It's not a good dynamic. Let's talk about Junto Nakatani versus Angel Acosta. This was another one, and Kriegel said, yeah, there's no way. He alluded to the fact that Angel was not going to lose his, you know, lose his O or whatever it was, that he was going to defeat Nakatani and this and that. He would clearly, you know, Acosta was a house fighter. Nakatani wins by TKO. Acosta, you know, they couldn't stop talking about this guy. In the second round, Nakatani looked like he broke Acosta's nose. It was streaming blood, and they couldn't stop it. The doctor actually said that he actually broke a vein or a blood vessel or something like that in his nose and that they couldn't stop it. And, you know, there was no way to stop that bleeding. And they tried in the corner and everything like that. They still couldn't stop it. And one of the – I don't know who brought it up, but because I was thinking the same thing. Like, how much blood does he have to lose before he actually starts to feel this, you know? Now, I know,
and
like,
you swallow the blood, too, and then it's...
Yeah, it ain't good, man. Like, why are you sending this kid out there? Stop this fight. Why the ref didn't stop the fight?
Once again, the doctor
didn't stop the fight? I don't know.
Once again. And there's a third issue we're gonna touch upon later. It was a horrible weekend for officiating.
Yeah.
So instead of focusing on all this other bullshit, let's stop focusing on this. Let's stop focusing on this because these referees
are playing
with people's lives.
Well, and not only that, you heard Andre Ward and Tim Bradley really piling on.
Oh, come on.
Oh, wow, man.
Come on.
I mean, that was rough. Like, you know, guys, you know, this ain't life and death. He's not, you know, you can't, if he's losing that much blood, he looks like he's losing a lot of blood to me. I don't know because he can't stop the cut. You know, or the, you know, his broken nose, you can't stop it from bleeding. Well, you know, that's just something you gotta suck up and everything like that.
No. How do you suck that up? First of all, you can't breathe out of your nose. Second of all, your nose and mouth are attached. So even if it's going into your mouth this way, it's still going in the, it could go when you're breathing and you go, the blood's going back down to your esophagus. There's no positive outcome. That fight should have been stopped very quickly.
Yeah.
Very
clear. I agree. And, I mean, like I said, I don't know how much blood you have to lose in order for you to start feeling it, but he was losing a lot of blood. It looked to me like a lot of blood. Now, I know you can't look at people's trunks or a crime scene and determine how much blood is there. I get that. But this was streaming out of his nose. So it looked like a lot to me, but I don't know.
And I love Andre Ward to death, but he was always the one to say that, oh, you know, it's not about taking punishment. You know, there's no moral victories in the sport of boxing, you know. And for him to, like, say that, I was appalled. I was shocked because that is so not like him. He did not.
Yeah.
He was so opposite of that when he was boxing. Like, he even said, you know, if ever I'm getting beat up badly, I want my corner to stop the fight. There's no moral victories in the sport of boxing and stuff like that. And he fought with a lot of courage. He fought with a lot of bravery. You know, he's come back from a lot of adversity in his career. I'm not questioning. I won't question any fighter's heart ever. But more importantly, I wouldn't question his heart. But for him to say that about the fighter, I mean, you're not a doctor. None of us are doctors, but common sense will tell you. If it's bleeding that bad and you're trying to bleed out of it, and when your nose is blocked, what do? You go, and then the blood's going to go back because it's like, you know, you have allergies, post-nasal drip. You know, when you go, it goes down the back of your throat, and you're going to choke on it.
You know, and I tell you what, if that nose was broken and he blows his nose or whatever, his eyes swell up. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, there's no positive. I mean, you were losing the fight clearly. What are you going to let him continue on for, Andre? To say what? Just so he can go the distance? You said yourself, there's no moral victories in the sport of boxing. You don't get extra points for being brave.
No.
So he was getting
busted up in there. He was getting beat. I mean, that wasn't even a close fight. You know, I mean, it wasn't. So, you know.
I was very disappointed in Andre Ward. And even Bradley showed a little bit of compassion.
Well, I mean, Bradley's Bradley, you know.
Bradley actually had a pretty decent performance for, you know, considering Bradley. You know, he's never been the best, but he wasn't that bad on Friday. He was a little bit okay.
He was better than Ward was.
Yeah, Ward, that wasn't Ward. I love, again, I'm a huge Andre Ward fan, love him to death. That wasn't one of his better nights on the mic, in my opinion.
I agree.
But with all due respect.
Xander Zayas versus Jose Luis Sanchez, 6 rounds, junior middleweight. Zayas wins by unanimous decision, 60-54 and 60-53 twice. Listen, man, I like Xander Zayas a lot, and there's a lot to like about him. You know what I mean? He's a good fighter. He looks like a supermodel. I mean, he could probably double as a model somewhere or a movie star. He's got those looks, you know. So you see him, and you figure, wow, we can really push this guy to the moon. And he's a good boxer. He's an entertaining style and everything like that. My problem is I wonder if he has the power to compete when his class moves up. You know what I mean? When he starts fighting a different caliber of opponent,
does he
have that power? Because
at least to get respect, too.
This guy was game.
Yeah.
All right, but he was still throwing at the end, you know, and the guy he fought, listen, you're not going to knock out everybody. I get that, and this was a step. I get that, too. But once he starts getting to the cream of the division, will he be able, you know, that top 10 of that division? And again, he's young. There's no rush to get him there. Will he carry that power? That's what I'm wondering. I don't know.
Yeah. There is a lot of snap to his punches. He lands very cleanly, you know, so I like the poise, the patience. I love how he just very defensively responsible, doesn't get wild, keeps everything nice and tight, you know, catches shots. Excellent counterpuncher, you know, really good timing. You know, has that ring awareness in there, knows what to throw and when to throw it, right? That's never off balance, doesn't get overzealous in there. He's ahead of his years. You know, he fights like a guy who's
fine when he was 16.
Yeah, he fights like a guy who has like 30 fights.
Right. He's a very skilled fighter, no question about it.
And he's a great kid, got a good head on his shoulders. He's grounded, not arrogant. I love him.
I worry about that power. Because he hit that kid solid quite a few times, and that kid didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd be curious, man.
Yeah, that's something to look at, Eric. That's definitely something to look at.
He's a solid fighter, though, man. I'm looking, like I said, and he's young. You know, what has he got, eight fights or something crazy?
Yeah. Because to your point, that's a 6-round fight. A 12-round fight, you're going to have to throw a lot more punches. You're going to get a lot tighter. And if every punch you're throwing, people are walking through, then you're going to have to keep throwing that much more punches to keep the guy off you. Something's got to, you know, you got to get through, you got to get your respect with some of those shots to slow the guy down from coming forward.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And
I didn't think of that.
You know,
that's
think about him being 19 or whatever, again. He's
You're having a great show tonight. You're having a great show. I'm going to give you credit tonight.
You know, he's 18, he's 19 years old. And again, man, you're fighting, you know, strong, you know, 26-year-olds and, you know, 25, and they're going to be naturally strong anyway. Just because they're a little bit older, they've been in the game a little bit longer, so you got to wonder. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely.
On the zone, Filip Ergovic versus Marco Radonjic, 12 rounds heavyweights. Ergovic wins by TKO in the fourth. Beeb, I didn't catch this fight. I didn't really have any interest in it. You caught it. What were your thoughts on it? Was it any good? Was it worth watch?
Rant number three from the Beeb. Rant number three is coming up and on deck. He knocked him down 5 times. After the second knockdown, this poor guy got up and was like this, doing the freaking spaghetti dance, right? And the ref let it go on, right?
How's that even possible?
And I think that was in the third, if I remember correctly, I think that was in the second round, right? So then in the third round, he knocks him down 2 more times. And he was like laying there flat on his back for like 4 seconds before he even moved. And the ref is counting. This fight arguably could have been stopped after the second knockdown when he got up and he was wobbling like that. But this ref and this corner, once again, where's all the virtue signals about the safety of the sport? No one's yelling about this stuff. This is where the deaths and the injuries come from. But you want to talk about the other virtue signaling bullshit. What about this?
That's it.
These are big cards. These aren't some local shows in some high school gym, right?
Right.
These are three pretty decent high-profile cards, right? And you have three officials that should be in these fights that have experience, right? So you had three horrible showings from these officials. Now, is anyone going to pull these officials? Are they going to pull these officials aside and talk to them and say, hey, man, you got to do a better job there. You got to stop these fights a little bit early. Looks like this guy was taking a little bit more damage. You probably should have stepped in. Is that going to happen? If you guys, if people really care about the safety of the sport, focus on this fucking shit. Focus on this shit.
Referee training, everything.
I was at the gym watching this fight, right? And I'm screaming at the referee. People are looking at me like, what's going on here? But that's how upset I am. I couldn't contain myself. I'm like, stop the fucking fight.
It's ridiculous.
What are you counting for? Wave the fucking thing off.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of them like that, you know, I mean, this weekend. And in fact, let's get to the worst one of the weekend, Triller. That card right there, Jesus. Evander Holyfield versus Vitor Belfort. That was the main event. Holyfield's what, 58, 59? Pushing 60.
Another one. How does this guy get a license?
You know what? I tell you what, man. Florida ought to be ashamed of itself for many reasons, not just this. But let's just talk about this in particular, okay?
I like that.
You know, there's plenty to pile on Florida about, but we're going to stick with this topic right here. You know, the guy's 58. How on earth did you say, yeah, I think this is a great idea to put him against TRT Vitor? Because I know. You know, I gotta suspect there was no drug testing in this one. Because, you know, Vitor, you know, he looked like the old TRT Vitor, you know what I mean? Where he was pumped up and everything like that. He looked good.
He looked like the mighty Thor in the ring last night.
Didn't he? Jesus.
He looked like from He-Man from the Power of Grayskull.
He did. He looks like a cartoon character in there. Belfort wins by TKO in the first round over Holyfield. Holyfield looked every bit of 58 years old in there. He looked every bit of 65, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand. I get this. I just don't understand how this fight was even sanctioned. The two-minute rounds, he was knocked out. I mean, it was insane. It was insane how quick. I mean, it was just a shell of himself. And everybody said leading into the fight, they were worried about him. They were scared for his health, blah, blah, blah. But nobody stepped in and said, hey, this fight shouldn't happen. None of you guys, man. And I'm going to surprise some of you with this next statement, but listen to this. The older you get, the less athletic you become. That is a simple fact. That's it. You don't get better with age, guys. It just doesn't happen. Not athletically, you don't.
There's certain, and other things you can't do as well as you did when you were younger, too.
Right? Yeah, you know?
No? Even that. You got to deal with the realization.
It is what it is, man. When you're 58, I don't care. You're not going to be able to move like that. And the Triller guy, the guy, whoever that Triller guy is, the main guy over there, was talking about, he was like, yeah, we offered Mike Tyson $30 million to fight Holyfield and or some kind of X amount of millions to fight Holyfield, but Tyson doesn't want to fight him. He said, I heard he was scared of being knocked out by Holyfield.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
You know why Tyson doesn't want to fight Holyfield? Because you could pull Roy Jones aside and say, hey, man, let's just go easy. Let's not really hit each other in the face. We're just going to throw body shots. You could pull Lennox Lewis aside and say the same thing, but you know what? Holyfield's a competitive guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try and go in there and fight for real. Mike Tyson doesn't want to fight Holyfield for real at this point in his life because he knows he can hurt.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
That's it. Like, Holyfield can't do anything half speed. He can't go in there and just play around and have an exhibition. But Roy Jones can. Like, you could tell there was a silent agreement in that fight that we're not going to throw headshots.
Clearly, because, I mean, you know, Tyson could have got rid of him. Tyson really could have got rid of him in that fight.
This is why, you know, you can say what you want about Tyson, but I love this new version of Tyson. He's a fucking teddy bear. He's a gentleman.
It's a weed.
Right?
It's a weed. He owns a weed farm now. He's all calm.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know? He's like Pacquiao now that he's found religion and stuff like that. You know,
that's why Tyson
fights and everything.
That's why Tyson doesn't want to fight Holyfield, because he knows that Holyfield won't go half speed. And what's going to happen is they're going to have a fight. They're going to have a real fight.
Yeah.
They're going to have a real fight. That's what's going to happen.
I think it's
and he doesn't want to do that at this point in his life. He doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Pointless. It's pointless. Holyfield still said after the end of the show he was going to box. He said, "Oh yeah, I'll box again." He talked about boxing again. You're crazy, son. Could you imagine? Vitor said it after the fight that Oscar De La Hoya is probably the happiest guy in America right now. I got to tend to agree with him. I think Vitor would have just.
I already said that. Like I thought Vitor would have destroyed. These guys are old.
Yeah.
De La Hoya is pushing 49. He's abused his body, right? Vitor Belfort is on every PED. He's fucking going to HRT, TRT clinics. He's on everything,
yeah.
Right? They're not beating these guys.
No. And listen, hey, kudos to Holyfield. He looked like he was in great shape. But being a bodybuilder and getting in the ring, two different things, man. Two different things. Let's talk about the KO of the night, man. Anderson Silva. Listen, man, I've always loved Anderson Silva ever since I saw him for the first time in the UFC. Loved it. He fought Tito Ortiz last night, UFC's Tito Ortiz. Anderson Silva KO'd him cold in the first round. It was a knockout in the first round. It was a right hand right on the button that clipped Ortiz. Ortiz was coming in. He just stopped punching and just fell. He was done. Not the first time I've seen Anderson separate somebody like that. But I tell you what, man, that was vicious. I would love to see Silva versus Jake Paul. That would have been great. That would be great. That's not going to happen.
I think Silva would destroy Jake Paul.
Let me tell you what, and everybody was kind of joking about Silva and everything like that. Listen, he beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. So, and you think about it, well, you're like, well, you know, Chavez Jr. is not what he was, blah, blah, blah. Listen, Chavez Jr. isn't that far out of his prime.
He's a lot younger than
Silva, and he boxes for a living, son.
Yes.
And he got beat by Anderson Silva. He got beat in Mexico by Anderson Silva. He got the decision in Mexico, Silva did. Yeah. I'm telling you, this guy can fight. This guy can fight. And he was talking about fighting Roy Jones or whatever. Listen, that guy can fight, man.
We could argue that. He's probably the best boxer in MMA history.
I think he is, hands down.
I don't think he's even close. Like I think Belfort's probably second, but I think it's a distant second.
You got Vitor, and then you got Junior Dos Santos. I think you could put him in there. Maybe Nogueira, maybe one of the Nogueiras in there also. But Anderson
Silva.
He's
head and shoulders.
He's a different kind of striker. He's a different kind of striker, man. No question about that. Let's see. John O'Carroll versus Andy Ventzis. Carroll wins a unanimous decision by the scores of 95, or actually a majority decision, 97-93 twice and 95-95. David Haye versus Joe Fournier. David Haye wins a unanimous decision over Fournier by the scores of 79-72, 80-71, and 79-72. After the fight, David Haye calls out Tyson Fury. Come on, son. You just went, what, 8 rounds against Joe Fournier?
He carried him, though. He carried him.
That's what I heard, yeah. I mean,
he carried him. He carried him.
Maybe.
That's his friend. That's his friend.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You would carry me, wouldn't you, Eric? Because we had a charity event. Would you carry me?
I would absolutely I wouldn't hit you with the right hand, man. I would lean in. I would faint the right hand. I might throw it over your head. I might stick your arm a couple times.
We'd put on a good show.
Yeah.
Now, if it was Robbie in there, I think I'd fire off some real ones.
Wow, that's cold blooded. That's just cold blooded, man. That's just cold blooded. All right, before we go to Robert on the phones, all right, before we go there, let's talk about Manscaped for a little bit. All right, exciting news from our friends at Manscaped. They just launched their fourth generation performance package. The ultimate package includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming, have done it again to make your grooming game next level. 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the new performance package 4.0 by going to manscaped.com. 20% off, free shipping, with the code Ringside Reporter, one word, Ringside Reporter. Beeb, now you've got their nose trimmer.
The weed whacker
is a greater what, man?
Best thing in the world.
I got to be honest, man. Everything that I've purchased or got from Manscaped, the lotions, everything, the deodorants, it's all been good. I mean, it really has been. Everything has really been good. Look at that.
Look at this cute little bag they give you to put your accessories in.
Got to like that, man. That's awesome.
How do you beat that? Look at this. Look at all this stuff you got.
The swag, son. Yeah, their stuff is really, really good. And the more people I talk to about this, they actually use this stuff. They're like, yeah, this is really, really good. So yeah, man. The performance package. What's that?
Got to use the code. You get free shipping.
Yeah, 20% off.
And 20% off. How do you beat that stuff?
You can't, man. You can't. The Performance Package 4.0 by Manscaped has arrived, and oh, man, was it worth the wait. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker Ear and Nose and Hair Trimmer, Crop Preserver Deodorant, and Crop Reviver Toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. This is actually a really, really good deal, man. First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is insane, and I dare say the greatest trimmer ever. Their fourth-generation trimmer features cutting-edge technology, ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. And thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology, they reduce all accidents. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and gives you the ability to turn on the 4,000K LED spotlight for a more precise shave. And did I mention this is waterproof also? There you go. You thought that was good, but you want to take your grooming game even further to the next level. The Performance Package 4.0 includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds in your nose and ear. That's what Beeb had just right there, the Weed Whacker. It's also waterproof, 9,000 RPM motor, 360-degree rotary dual blade system. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, tugs. Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations, their Crop Preserver deodorant before leaving the house, and the Crop Reviver toner for the mid-game check. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers, which are great. I wear them all the time. They're really good. They really are. And the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. Get 20% off free shipping with the code RingsideReporter at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping with the code RingsideReporter, one word, at manscaped.com. There you go. It's good stuff, guys. You got to try it. You got to try it. You really do.
Click the link.
Click the link, guys. All right, let's go to the phone. Ringside Robert, 530, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
We're good.
What's up, Robert? Good.
Did you watch the pay-per-view, Robert?
No.
Did you buy that pay-per-view last night?
No.
Nope. Fucking liar. Stop it. Such a liar. You bought it.
Nope. I don't have all that money to throw away, guys.
Oh, it's cold.
Please. Please, Robbie.
You going to watch Montero's fight on the 16th?
No.
What?
What?
No.
He's a friend of the show.
I know
charity,
that.
Robert. For charity, you
I
cheap
know.
Sucker. It's for charity, son. What are you doing? It's for charity, son.
No.
You have no problem going to Cheetahs and giving all them girls your ones, but you can't buy this.
Yeah, he got no problem buying a lap dance, does he?
No.
No?
Wow.
When
it comes to people's lives and charity and stuff like that, huh?
No,
draw the line.
Check on these alcohol escorts, but you can't spend $15 on Montero.
Well, Brad, this is expensive. I got to be honest, you know.
Please.
God. I applaud for what Mike is doing. I wish him all the success in the world. But in all
any
seriousness,
chance you stepping in the ring, Robert?
No. Not with my disabilities. Are
called
you
it
crazy?
A day.
No.
He called it a day. Robert called it a day. Do you think you could beat Montero?
No.
No?
What
do you think the fight would be close?
No. I'm not even his size.
What about you versus
brother?
Jason?
What about
no,
you
I'm,
versus
you,
Jason? Yeah, what about you versus Jason?
No,
you versus
I'm not.
Jason.
I'm,
yeah, I think you
hey,
can take Jason.
I'm in the lower weight class.
My money's
guy,
on
I'm,
Robert.
What about you
I'm
versus a, Nacho? He ain't in the best shape in the world.
No, I'm in the lower weight classes, man. There's no way.
Oh, man.
What about Nacho?
No, I told you, no. Now, in all seriousness, guys, I can talk about that fight that got stopped because of the heavy bleeding. The guy is 112 pounds. That's about my size. And if you break something like that, a smaller guy can't lose a lot of blood. So the doctor did the right thing there.
Well, did the doctor stop it? I don't think the doctor even stopped it, did he?
Yeah, because he told the referee, this guy can't lose any more blood. That's how come they stopped it.
Gotcha.
The referee was going to allow it to continue. And boy, did we see some
referee
bad
was a moron.
Did we see some bad decisions this weekend? And like I told Beeb, I watched the Friday DAZN card yesterday. Because DAZN had two cards. They had one on Friday and one on Saturday. I watched the ESPN stuff on Friday, and I watched the DAZN stuff yesterday. And in the fight where the guy got knocked down five times, four of those knockdowns took place in the second round. After the second knockdown, that fight should have been stopped. But like I told Beeb, this fight took place in Austria. Now, I don't know how much experience Austria has in staging a fight card, because clearly had this fight taken place even in the UK, it would have been stopped after the second knockdown.
Yeah, that was just horrible.
Yeah.
It was awful, yeah.
Referee didn't know what he was doing at all.
Now, I watched the card that DAZN had from Madrid yesterday, and the Spanish referees, they knew what they were doing. When they had to stop a fight, they stopped the fight. You know, there was no controversy there. It's dangerous to put fights in places that aren't used to staging fights. You know, Arizona doesn't do too many fights in this country. You go to California, you go to Nevada, you go to New York. You don't go to places like Florida and Arizona that don't know how to stage fights.
There you go. What
do you
think about Holyfield?
I'm going to be 57. There's no way I would do that. And with him being 58, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Yep.
Definitely agree with that.
So,
all right.
All right, but
who'd you have winning the Valdez fight, Robert?
Who'd you have winning the Valdez fight?
I thought he lost. I thought he lost that fight. I had the other guy winning. Because I gave the other guy the third round. I gave him the 10th and the 11th. I thought the other guy won. Valdez, granted, he had a lot of stuff going on, and that card shouldn't have never taken place anyway. But he clearly didn't look like he was ready for this. And if he thinks he's going to be a successful opponent with Jamal Herring and Shakur Stevenson, the two of them have to be chomping at the bit after what they saw on Friday, because if he shows up the way he did on Friday, both of them would beat him.
There's no way that guy beat Shakur.
No.
No way. 100% no way.
I don't think he beat Herring either.
No, I don't know. Is it Herring's big? Herring's a big guy.
I like Herring. I think Herring's going to beat Shakur.
I don't think Herring's going to touch Shakur. Yeah,
I'm in the minority. I'm in the minority with that one. No one's picking Herring, but I think
Shakur wipes him in like a UD in that one, man.
Well, you know
who's going to win that one, Robbie?
I'm looking forward to that one for the simple fact that we're finally going to see Shakur Stevenson in the ring with somebody that knows how to fight. And
so who you got?
Who you got, Robbie? Who you got?
I'm gonna take Herring.
Oh, man, you're on, son. You're on. What are we betting?
He's the smartest guy.
What are we betting?
I ain't betting nothing because I don't have. Where
your mouth is, son. What are we betting?
Don't question,
bet with him. Do a pie bet. Right
no, I don't. Hey, I don't have a way to do video if I lose. So.
You got an iPhone.
I know, but I don't have anybody around here that could help me post the video.
Do a selfie. You hold your phone. Boom. How tough is that?
So.
Have your mom hold the phone while you smash a pie in your face.
Oh yeah, she'd love that.
Yeah. All right, Robbie, we're gonna get running, man. Stay on hold for us, man.
I am.
All right. Area code 917. This is in New York. 917, you're live.
Yo.
Milk,
how's it going, Eric? How's it going,
what up,
Joe?
Baby?
Milcar, what's
it's
up?
All good.
What's up, brother?
The maestro, man. Well, first of all, I need you to mute the audience for a second, Eric, because I need to speak to Mr. Habib as his sponsor, you know, his BAA guy. You know, Joe, I got to let you know that you know, when you're taking out the credit card Saturday night to buy the Holyfield pay-per-view, you got my number. You can give me a call. All right? Put down the Amex. Put down the MasterCard. Put down the Visa. You do not need to buy these pay-per-views, okay? I'm Joe's sponsor. All right? We're both members of BAA, you know, Boxing, you know, Aficionados Anonymous. All right? We got to help each other out, man. You did not need, Joe, to buy that pay-per-view on Saturday night. Now, having said that, did you enjoy it, Joe?
I kind of did.
He told me off air he didn't enjoy it.
You know what I did? You know what I liked? I like Anderson Silva. I like Anderson Silva.
You like the rush of buying the pay-per-view thinking you're going to get a great fight. Beeb, you're among friends here. You can fall. It's okay. We've got you.
Yeah, I
think
of
this as a confrontation, okay?
My adrenaline stops flowing with the anticipation of having that classic moment. You know what it's like? It's like the night before Christmas, right? When you're a kid, you can't fall asleep because you're anticipating all those great gifts you're going to get in the morning, right?
Yeah.
This is like when you buy a pay-per-view. You're buying a pay-per-view, right? You click that remote control in the morning, and you go to the buy button on the screen, and all day you're giddy. You're like, I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait for tonight. There's something special going to happen tonight, right? And then tonight comes, nothing special happens.
Well, President Trump was on the telecast. I mean, that was somewhat special.
It was special for different kinds of reasons, I think.
Yeah. Did you watch the card?
I couldn't do it, man. I'm not going to lie. Joe and me, we have a lot in common. We pretty much buy everything, but I could not pull the trigger on this one.
I couldn't do it either, man. I couldn't do it either.
And the funny thing is, within 10 minutes of each fight, they were on YouTube, you know, and they weren't even being taken down. So, you know, I saw everything I needed to see. Now, here's my question for you guys, being the expert boxing guys that you are. All week, more than a week, actually, for weeks, we were hearing Jake Paul is bad for boxing. Oh, my ass, go, you don't know what you're talking about. Jake Paul's bad for boxing. He's terrible for boxing. Where the hell were these guys about the Holyfield fight? Where were they when it came to Victor Ortiz fighting? How exactly is Victor Ortiz fighting not a big deal, but Jake Paul apparently is going to lead to the demise of a sport that goes back thousands of years to the Assyrians and the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Greeks and Romans? Jake Paul's going to tear all that down, but a 58-year-old Evander Holyfield and a big-headed, 45-ish, Tito Ortiz is not a problem. Oh. Can you guys explain this?
Right. At least the Ortiz fight was evenly matched. I mean, it didn't turn out that way, but it was. Because, you know, Silva has had, a couple of pro fights. Tito Ortiz, this was like his debut. Tito Ortiz is a bigger guy. You know, he knows how to box a little bit. He's MMA background. So I didn't hate that. I didn't hate that matchup. I liked the matchup. I thought it was a fair matchup. Because it would be a fair matchup inside the octagon as well. You know what I mean? But the Holyfield fight, no, man, that was not good. That was not good at all.
No, it wasn't.
It was crazy,
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what's crazy, too? It's the same people, like the same journalists and the same websites are covering these fights that are covering Deontay Wilder and Errol Spence. But yet they'll say, you know, they'll come out and make fun of these fights, but why are they there covering them? You know what I mean? So
seriously,
which one is it? Are they jokes? Are they circuses? Or are they not? Why are you there covering it?
They took a lot of heat last night. I tell you what, they did take a lot of heat. If you read all the tweets about it, if you read some of the stories about it, they took a lot of heat for that fight last night for the Holyfield.
They should have taken a lot of heat.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be curious. I'll be curious to see how many people actually paid for it and, you know, what they're, you know. Because I tell you what, man, it's one of those things where Triller, and I'll tell you about the Teofimo fight pretty soon here, but they're not looking good right now, you know. And if a lot of people didn't buy into this, which I'm assuming they didn't, you know, it could be curtains for them pretty early. I don't know, man, because they took a bath on that Teofimo fight. They had to.
Yeah.
They did. They took a big bath. They took a big bath, and I cannot imagine. Look, I'll be honest. I was gonna pull the trigger if it was De La Hoya fighting. I was ready to buy that pay per view, but when Holyfield stepped in, I'm like, nah, yo, you know, I can't do this. And then Vitor's out there acting like a drunk Brazilian the night of a Brazil World Cup victory after knocking out a 58-year-old. I mean, are you kidding me?
Right.
And then he's calling out Jake Paul. If anything, you would have thought that he would call out David Haye. I'd be more interested in that fight. I mean, David Haye is around the same weight. You know, he's a former world champion. He's not that much different in terms of his age. Like, why the fuck wasn't he calling out David Haye if he wants to prove something? I mean, what do
you
exactly
know why?
Because
there's no money in fighting David Haye. There ain't no money in fighting David Haye. There's not. Nobody.
Well, there you go.
Nobody's going to watch. I mean, you and I are interested in it. You and I would say, hey, all right, let's check it out, you know. But your average Joe isn't going to – they're going to want to see him fight Jake Paul. They're going to want to see Silva fight him or whoever. But, yeah, man, I don't know. I tell you what, it was a good thing Oscar wasn't in there last night because Oscar would have got roasted.
I agree, you know, especially – you know, we don't know much about what they were doing in terms of testing. This flight was in Florida, right? You know, home of A-Rod.
Yeah, I can't imagine they were doing
anything
in Florida.
Well, I'll tell you, they're doing Ask A-Rod about Florida. You know what I mean? Ask Manny Ramirez about Florida. You know, there's a lot going on in Florida.
Yeah, not for safety of boxers is not, though.
No,
tell you,
no,
the fact that they sanctioned
not.
This, the fact that they sanctioned this, is just like, you know, I mean, they moved it out of California because California said no. All right, well, let's take it to Florida. There's plenty of stuff going on there. It's like the Wild West out there. There, you know.
Yeah.
Right. 100%.
And then was there a separate stream?
Go ahead.
Beeb, was there a separate stream for the Trump? Was he on a different stream of that or what? How did you hear Trump on there?
I didn't hear Trump. I heard Porter and I heard Ray Flores and I heard 50 Cent.
Gotcha. And then so Trump was on a different channel?
I think he was on a different stream or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that would have been
enough. So I'll just leave it on this, guys, because I'm sure you got a lot of callers lined up here. But number one, ESPN was disgraceful on Friday. I go back and forth with Andre Ward and Tim Bradley. This night, I thought they were terrible. I couldn't believe the fact that they weren't giving Kunta Kao credit for what he was doing. Especially Andre Ward, and I talked about this with Joe on Saturday, he has a tendency to expect more from fighters than he did himself as a fighter. He's telling Kunta Kao to do things that he didn't do when he was in the ring. He was mostly a defensively minded fighter. He was not a volume puncher. He did not look to take guys out of there. He was telling Kunta Kao the whole night to do all of these things. And when Kunta Kao wasn't on the offense and was taking a couple rounds to be a more defensively focused guy, we're hearing nothing but criticism of, you know, from Bradley and from Ward. I mean, I thought he won the fight. You know, I don't think it was a robbery. I do think 117 was crazy. I do think the little tippy tap that he did at the back of Valdez's head, that causing a point deduction was beyond outrageous.
Especially
when he was eating, right? I mean, he was eating clean shots to the back of the head from Valdez, nothing. He does a little tippy tap at the back of his head while they're in the clinch, and he gets a point taken away, no warning whatsoever. That was crazy. And Joe, I got to agree with you. It's a wrap for Flores as an elite, a potentially elite level championship fighter. It's difficult to come back.
He
got his soul snatched. He got his soul snatched on Saturday, Gabriel Flores Jr. You know, he got his soul snatched.
Thank his father for that.
Yeah.
Thank his father.
Yeah, and you gotta blame the dad for that one, 100%. 100%. I gotta agree with Ringside. I mean, I don't agree with Robert, you know, about whether or not it's worthwhile purchasing an Amazon stick or a Roku stick or a smart TV. But I do agree with him on the fact that I see Valdez being a heavy underdog now against Herring or Shakur Stevenson after what I saw Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I don't think he beats either one of those guys. I don't think he beats any one of them.
No, not at all. So thank you, guys. Great show as always. Two of the best doing it out there in the boxing world, and appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Awesome. All right. 805, you're live.
Hey guys, what's up? Just really quick.
Christ, will you wait?
What did it take you like 20 minutes to answer?
What is this delayed reaction every time? What do you need, an entrance
Beep,
music or something? What's going on with you?
Let's not start with this again, Beep. All right, come on now. Like, we already went through this the last couple of times.
All right, I'm sorry.
Just really quick. The worst one out of everything that happened was the, like Emil Carr said right now, Flores. His dad just literally might have taken about 5 to 10 years off his career with that fight the other night. I don't understand why. I don't think it's ruined, but I think it's going to take a long time for that kid to come back. I think that's a horrible look that his father literally just sent him out there for the last three rounds when he should have pulled the plug after pretty much about the seventh round. Like, just watching that kid take shots that he didn't need to take was just a terrible look. And I think it's going to be a while before he gets, his confidence back. And they're going to have to literally spoon-feed him soft opponents for the next few fights again, because there's no way you could give him a guy like Lopez, who legitimately was a hand-picked guy who they thought he could beat. and he ended up getting beat up by the guy. So I don't think you can even try to get a guy on Lopez's level to fight Flores next.
He was a featherweight.
I think
he was a featherweight.
Yeah, he was a smaller guy too. Yeah, that's the crazy part. And it's like it's just a bad look all overall for Flores, and they're really going to have to figure out how to move this kid as far as maneuver his career to get his confidence back, because he looked like he lost all his confidence Friday night. He looked like a kid who legitimately
done.
Was embarrassed, and he just looked terrible. And it's going to be a while before that kid legitimately is even talked about as being any kind of a prospect. I don't want to say he's completely done, B, because there's been guys in the past who got beat early and they were able to, you know, kind of reinvent
right.
themselves
I hope
and
right.
come back.
That was
so
a beating he took, though. That was a beating.
No, he was.
I hope you're
the
right.
The last three rounds, the last three rounds were horrible. I agree with you guys. Like, he should have been out of there. After the sixth round, the father should have just said, you know what, we're done. Like, you're not going to beat this guy. We're losing. Let's just come back and fight some other time and you know, save him from getting beat up. But, yeah, I don't know what they
That's
do,
the
but
thing.
They got to get
He was losing every
else.
Round.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was losing every round. I mean,
he
close.
He did not win one round in that fight.
No.
Not one. Not even one.
Yeah. No, it was bad. It was just terrible. But, yeah, they're going to have to figure out what to do with him coming back. But they're going to have to, like, put somebody else in the corner with the kid. The dad is not – he's not getting any better with the dad. Like, he's stale. Like, he's stuck as far as his progression. He's not getting any better. I don't see a guy who's getting any better. So they're going to have to find somebody
yeah.
who can legitimately teach the kid how to actually fight, because the dad doesn't know what he's
yeah.
doing. The dad is like the hype man more than he is an actual trainer. And then with the Nakatani Acosta fight, I don't know. Like, that one was kind of weird because they kept saying that he was bleeding inside of his, like, mouth. Like, the blood was going through his, you know, nose into his throat, and that's why they were, like, you know, scared to let him continue. But it didn't look like the blood was, like, just flowing out of his nose the entire time. I thought they did a really
good
job.
Yeah, but
they
couldn't stop the bleeding. But they couldn't stop. The problem was they couldn't stop the bleeding.
But in the corner, he was spitting out blood.
Yeah.
They
couldn't stop it. Yeah.
He was spitting blood out of his mouth in the corner. You could see him spitting the blood into the bucket, Nacho.
No, I know. But
boy, Nacho's hardcore, man. He would have let him fight, man.
I mean, I just felt like I don't know. I feel like they were a little too overcautious as far as, like, you know, the kid.
You don't be bloodthirsty. You don't want people to die in this.
Well,
what do you want people,
yeah.
you want
no,
people
I'm
to die in
this?
No. If that was
what
the case, Steve, then I would have been cheering. I would have been cheering on for Evander Holyfield to keep fighting. And I said that I thought that was a horrible look that, you know, they let him actually fight this weekend when they should have never let that guy get in the ring. I mean, so, you know,
I was
obviously.
Blood out of his mouth, man.
He's got a family, Nacho.
Looks like a horror movie in there. Come on.
Terrible.
I mean,
like
yeah.
Friday,
I mean, that's just
Paul
a tough. It's a tough break for Acosta for sure. I think they're going to have to try to see what they can do as far as you know, bring him back. But that sucks. That's a really tough way to lose
bridge?
The fight. No.
What are you doing? The cops coming after you? What are you doing?
Do you hear a siren?
I heard like some sirens. Yeah.
No, there's no sirens going on. There was no sirens.
You didn't pay your pocket tickets? What's going on here?
No. And then with Valdez, man, talk about some home cooking. I just did not see him winning that fight. I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Canseau, you know, was kind of dancing and not really doing much the last three, four rounds, and he gave the fight away. But to me, before that, I didn't think Valdez did enough to win the majority of those rounds, to be completely honest. I honestly think that Canseau had done more than enough to win that fight, and I'm very surprised that, you know, Valdez ended up getting the decision. That was just like, wow, like, what the hell were they watching? Like, he legitimately did not win that fight, but he obviously got some home cooking in order to keep, you know, keep his belt. But like you guys were saying, if he fights like that again against whoever wins between Herring and Stevenson in a couple of weeks, he's going to lose to whoever that is, because they just have to be looking at this dude like he's done. Like he has no shot of beating either one of them. And honestly, and I agree with Robbie, Eric, I think Herring is going to beat Stevenson. I'm not
convinced. I do. What you want? What do you want, son? Let's bet on it, son. Let's do a pie bet on it, son.
A pie bet?
I think Shakur whitewashes his guy. Yeah, let's do a pie bet.
I'll do that. I don't know, well, Eric. After seeing the way he fought against Nakasila his last fight,
I don't know, man. I'm not impressed with Shakur Stevenson. I'm sorry.
Shakur's going to dog walk this guy.
He just doesn't have enough power to keep him off. This guy Herring is big.
He ain't going to put
a box from the outside.
Glove on him, son.
And he can box from the inside. He's a rugged, tough guy. He's strong. Punches harder. Definitely punches. He punches definitely harder than Shakur Stevenson.
Yeah,
I love it.
He does. I would go along with that. I would go along. He's definitely stronger. But he ain't gonna be able to put.
He's
hands
a better inside. He's a better inside fighter.
Not gonna put hands on him.
All right, we'll see.
All right, Robbie.
It's me against the world, and I'm winning, son. That's the way it is. All you guys are gonna take pies. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes down in the big city. Nacho speaking for everybody. He said everybody's betting. He said if he loses, everybody's taking a pie.
All right.
You, Robbie.
All right, Nacho, take it easy, man. Pay the
parking ticket. All right, let's go to the upcoming fights. I think there is none. Let's see, September 18th from Panama. It's a women's bantamweight title, junior bantamweight title, but it's not televised anywhere, and it's a good thing. I wouldn't have watched it anyway.
Yeah,
but,
going on.
Yeah, no. So what happened was Brandon Figueroa, I think that fight was supposed to be scheduled this weekend, wasn't it?
I think so.
And he tested positive, had to pull out of the fight with Stephen Fulton. He tested positive for COVID. He's out of the fight now. But I think the undercard is also washed too. So there's just no fight on the list. The next fight we got 2 weeks from now, September 25, Anthony Joshua versus Alexander Usyk. 12 rounds for Joshua's IBF, WBA, and WBO titles. So, yeah, there you go, man.
Yeah, interesting.
That's an interesting fight. That is a real interesting fight, because Usyk is probably going to be the best boxer that Joshua's ever faced.
I think so.
You don't think
from
so?
From
a technical standpoint, yes.
You could make an argument for that, sure.
Now, will it be this toughest fight? That's a different animal. But from a technical standpoint,
yeah.
I don't know. If he can move and not get hit. But, you know, my problem with Usyk is, again, we talked about that power. He had a hard time. Against, was it Derek?
Derek Chisora. Yeah, he didn't look great in that fight.
He didn't. And he tired him out and everything like that. But, yeah, man, I tell you what, it was It'll be interesting because if Joshua will be able to walk right through it, Joshua's got the skill to just demolish him. I mean, he really does. But Usyk's got to have, Usyk looks big. He looks big, so we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens. Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos is set for October 4th. The fight's going to be at Madison Square Garden, from what I'm understanding. And in case you're wondering, October 4th, yeah, it's a Monday. Beeb, when was the last fight you watched on a Monday night?
I can't remember.
And it's going to be on pay. It's going to be like a $20 pay or $30 pay or something like that.
What is Trilla doing?
They're losing money is what they're doing.
What the fuck are they doing? Someone please tell me.
It's insane, right?
I don't know what their plan is. They put so much money up for this fight, and they're doing nothing to make sure they get anything on, you know, in return for what they put up. They're sabotaging their own pay-per-view.
They really are. I mean, and they wouldn't go on Tuesday because something about, I don't know if it's the Yankees thing or something like that. They could be involved in the playoffs by then, or I don't know what exactly it was. But they moved off of that Tuesday date and went to Monday. I'm like,
you want to hear this statistic? Robbie just texted me. He said the last Monday fight was April 6, 1987, Sugar Ray Leonard versus Marvin Hagler.
What? That was a Monday?
That's what he said. That's what he said.
Was that on a Monday?
I'm going to double check it, see if I can find
April 6th, it's April 6th, 1987.
Yeah.
All right, so let's check it out. Hold on. April 6th, 1987.
Yeah, it's Monday.
What?
Wow.
It sure is.
Wow.
Robbie's like a savant like that, though. He, like, knows dates and everything like that. I mean, like, you could ask him. Let me tell you, Robert, you could ask him, like, April 8th of 1982, what day was it? He could tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's just like a savant like that. It's weird.
Good one, Robbie.
That's crazy. About
good
that?
One, Robbie.
Well, mm-hmm. Hopefully it'll be as good as a fight. I don't know. Let's see. Crawford and Porter are set to be announced next week. Bob Arum is quoted as saying, "We talked to the PBC as late as yesterday, and it looks like Porter is on board or close to being on board. And hopefully Terrence will be on board and will announce the fight next week, hopefully. We want it in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay, and we're holding the arena for November 20th.
Well,
Beeb, does it happen or what?
I'm very skeptical on whether or not it happened.
I'm very skeptical too. I don't know why. I just am.
I don't trust PBC fighters. I like Sean Porter, but I just don't trust PBC fighters.
Well, check this out. So Ohio Runs Boxing posted on Facebook. He posted that he knows somebody, you know, he's real close to somebody in the camps. All right. In the Porter camp, I guess. And he said that nothing has even come through from Aaron's side. So take it for what you want. Now, I can't confirm it. I don't know anything about it. This is coming from Ohio Runs Boxing. But he's saying that basically nobody from the Porter or nobody from the Crawford camp, Top Rank, or anybody has talked to Sean Porter or sent them over anything or anything like that. So talking about making this fight next week, I don't know what he's talking about. I'd like to see it happen. Hopefully it happens, but we'll see all we can do. Mikey Garcia. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just going to say, if I was a bet man, I would say it's not going to happen.
I am very skeptical, especially with the PBC and everything like that. And it sounds like if it's going to be announced next week for Vegas, is this Top Rank? Is this a Top Rank thing? Because if it is, I don't buy it at all. No way PBC's letting him go.
Who's going to win this purse bid, first of all?
Yeah, when is I guess he's hoping to do this before the purse bid. You know, and I'll tell you what, if Sean Porter has no – if they have Kevin from Chicago, I know you're on hold. If he has, what do you think? You could just interrupt the show and just say, "Hey, I'm on hold, and I'm just going to stop the show and go to you." That's how it works now. That's what we're rolling with, huh?
See the new producer?
Yeah, right. Yeah, speed it up, guys. I'm on hold.
Jesus Christ, Eric's got a lot of information to put out there. Please,
right? What's the matter with you? Not on. Yeah, but I don't know that it happens, and if Sean Porter has no, you know, if they don't have any desire to go along with this, why are they letting it go this long? You know what I mean? What's the point of dragging this out to a purse bid or whatever? If you don't want to fight him, why not just pull out and go fight somebody else? I don't understand it. So I do have a little bit of hope that the fight may happen, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when it's signed.
I thought that the purse bid was supposed to be on Tuesday, the 14th, no?
Well, I thought they moved it back. Oh, no, you're right. It is on Tuesday, the 14th, because they did move it at the request.
It was originally supposed to be the 2nd on a Thursday, I thought.
Yeah.
And now they moved it to the 14th.
I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. They're holding the arena for November 20th, so we'll see. Mikey Garcia versus Sandor Martin is set for October 16th on DAZN. This is interesting, man. Mikey Garcia, I guess, signed a one fight with DAZN and Matchroom. And so he was in talks. Apparently, Mikey Garcia was in talks with Regis Prograis. But apparently, the fight was too expensive for DAZN. So now DAZN will show the hotly anticipated Garcia versus Sandor Martin fight. Yeah, this is – what do you make of that, Beeb? It was too expensive for that. I mean, what?
I don't know. That would have been a tough fight for Garcia. I wouldn't have picked him to win that fight.
I wouldn't have picked him, yeah. I don't know, but I would have picked him to win that fight. Especially, you know, when he's been out for a little bit.
My hat goes off to him. If he's able to negotiate these big money fights.
$7 million, JC said, is Mikey getting paid $7 million again? I don't know. I don't know how much he's getting paid. I can't imagine he's getting paid any real money for Sandor Martin.
He made a lot of money to fight Jesse Vargas. I know that. So.
Yeah.
He seems to be a very good negotiator, so my hat goes off to him for that.
Well, I mean, people know who he is. He's been on the pay-per-view, you know, so, I mean, people know him. People know him. He's a name, so, see. All right, let's go to Kevin, 773 from Chicago. Kevin from Chicago, you're live.
Oh, man, we saw a 78-year-old former great champion boxer get knocked out by someone 20 years younger than him, and that wasn't even the most saddest, pathetic thing in the weekend of boxing. It was Oscar Valdez cheating, being able to take PEDs, and then get a gift decision, hometown cooking, robbery against that Brazilian. Just pathetic. And you knew it was coming, too. You knew it was coming. I mean, of course, he's got the buying market behind him, and it all comes back to money, as usual. And then you got the juice head Canelo in the crowd, cheering him on, going crazy. It's just disgusting. Such a disgusting scene. And then, what can I say? MMA won again. MMA won again. Beat boxing. Vitor Belfort knocked out the boxing champion. Can you believe that?
I tell you what, nope. 58 years old, yeah, I believe it. You looked every bit of his age.
Yeah, I'm joking. Yo, that was pathetic. These dudes, I'm not one of those dudes that's over there. Oh, the commission shouldn't have sanctioned it. These are grown men. If they want to fight, they can consent to fighting. And that's what happens. I mean, and then you saw Holyfield get up. He said, I'm not done fighting. And Tito Ortiz, he's already calling out Logan Paul. I mean, he's not even awake yet. This dude's calling out one of the Paul brothers. It's just, it's crazy.
That's
crazy. It's crazy.
You're actually funny tonight.
Coming in hot. Lots of football. Watch the U.S. Open. Djokovic lost. What are you going to do?
Speaking of those Bengals today, son. The Bengals, son.
Yep.
1-0 on our way.
How about them Browns? Choke.
Did they really? I didn't see it. Did they lost? Shut up.
Yeah.
They were up like 23-10 or something like that. Nuh-uh.
That's why I always say Brady is more impressive than Jordan when it comes to football and basketball, because in basketball, you're in control. You are in control of a lot. When it comes to football, you got these goofballs fumbling the ball, these dudes giving up sacks. I mean, it's like you got to rely on so many people to do their jobs, and half the time they just fumble the ball or give up an interception. It's
that's fun.
Yeah. But anyways,
they blew it.
Boxing.
They did. They blew it. 29-33. They blew it. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big time. But as far as the boxing goes, it was a pathetic weekend. Anderson Silva knocking the dude out. I mean, Tito Ortiz, those three left hooks. That was just insane to see. Did you see that? It was like it's something out of a movie. It was like an old man trying to swing three left hooks
out
in a row. Then he
cold.
Just
cold. Yeah, he put him out
people
cold.
People were saying it was fit.
Crazy, right?
How ridiculous it was. How bad he looked.
Well, you're the one that's always saying
guy.
Fights are fixed. So I mean, you're the one always saying fights are fixed. There's always a payoff.
I can tell a
shit.
Knockout from a mile away. They tried to say that Floyd Mayweather held up Logan Paul. he held them up. Remember the people were trying to run with that narrative. No.
Oh, I remember
clean
that.
Knockout.
Yeah.
That was bullshit. That was bullshit.
What are you gonna do? Leave you guys to it. Take it easy.
All right, man. Kevin from Chicago. All right, guys. I can't believe the Browns blew that game. That's crazy. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.